I'm calling from my car. Yeah.
Hey, I have a couple of questions for you, so I don't want to, like, interrupt your flow here, but if whenever you want to ask those questions, I'm happy to do so.
Just like you all say that that to your clients, you always want to know what they have to say first. That's the way I'd like to start. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, I'm watching the videos for, you know, not religiously, but I'm watching them before we get to these weeks, okay? And it seems like, according to the book and the chapters, like we've already got our centers of influence. We've already migrated all of our clients. And so, like, according to the pace of the book, there's a significant delta between where the book is and where we actually are as the Rogue Group, okay? And I think, you know, like you had assigned us to have 15 clients migrated over by June 1st. And, you know, so how do we want to kind of address that significant delta between what the book has us doing and what you're doing? And do we need to be watching the videos? I mean, because, you know, that's stuff that most likely we're not even going to be getting into until August or September time frame. So I just wanted to kind of make sure we're all on the same pace.
I'm glad you brought it up. I mentioned it when we first started. Everybody runs at it goes at a little different speed. And to go through the man, you're not talking about Rob's book. You're talking about the guide, I assume.
Right.
Yeah. It's you all had we had a lot of work to do early on around the service model. With most people, Joel, it's 12-4-2. Because of the issues that you have in the practice, the contractual obligations, whatever, we spent a lot more time there. So here's what I would tell you. If by the time we get to the end, and this is week 8, we have 4 more of the weekly meetings, and then we go to monthly. By the time we get finished with Supernova, we'll all be caught up and have covered everything that's in there. I'd ask you to trust me on that. Just very, very seldom does every team go through it perfectly. And if you look at the homework assignments after each week, I think you would see that while we're not perfectly on schedule, we've covered most of the things that the homework says to cover. So that's my response. It would be, frankly, it would be easier just to go through the book and try to put the same – or go through the syllabus and try to shove everybody into the same action plan. It's just not the best thing for the folks that we coach. Going to your next question or your last question about the videos, the videos do line up pretty closely with what's in the syllabus. They are important, and I would ask you to keep watching them. We can't get everything we want to talk about covered in half-hour sessions. The videos will, I think, give you color and maybe some depth on some things that we do discuss.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
Well, hold me accountable. I can always use a little more accountability. So it's not – if you don't think we're covering – we will get to it. If you want to – if you don't think I'm doing it, please let me know. But I think by the time we get to the end, Joel, I think you'll say it was the right thing to do.
Okay. On the blue mini-me folders that we're giving to clients, there's a when you open that folder up, like the way that our team's done it, like there's a list of the enthusiastically endorsed providers. Are you going to cover that today, or was that something we covered last week?
No, Supernova is built into 3 categories: the segmentation, the organization, and then the acquisition. Enthusiastically endorsed is something that we will cover next week.
Okay. So that's part of the 15 clients that we're supposed to be onboarding, right? So that we're going to be meeting with them or having conversations with them, giving the blue mini-me folders, and we're doing all that by June the 1st, right?
the goal by June the 1st is for each of you to have 15 people launched. That means they're somewhere in your calendar, and the folders are prepared.
Okay.
Are we in agreement there?
Yeah, and the reason I said that is because I met with two clients last week. I gave them the blue folder, and we're going through that. They're looking at the blue folder, and they're saying, well, what's this enthusiastically endorsed provider? So I just want to make sure I was kind of following along with what you were trying to coach us on.
Well, there's two parts to the enthusiastically endorsed. One is the enthusiastically endorsed question that you are going to ask the clients. I'll spend a couple of minutes on that just so I can differentiate the two. You're going to ask your clients, Joel, if they can enthusiastically endorse their CPA. You can do it with other professionals, but let's start with the CPA. And the client is either going to say, usually is going to say, I don't know what you mean, and then you're going to have to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. And at that point, the client's going to say, yes, I can enthusiastically endorse them, or no, I cannot. And then I will teach you a way, if they say yes, they love their CPA, a way for you to get in front of that CPA and widen your footprint. And if they say they can't enthusiastically endorse their CPA, it's obvious what you have the opportunity to do, and that's refer somebody you know will do a great job. So that's the enthusiastically endorsed question. Those enthusiastically endorsed providers that have all those different professions along the left-hand side?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's you putting together kind of an Angie's list. I've moved a lot, and every time we would go to a different town, you know, Merrill moved me about every 3 years, we'd have to get a new dentist, a new doctor, all of those things. When we moved to Nashville, everybody that we still have as a provider, we got through referrals. So it's just effective to have, to be able, if you got a client who's looking for a profession, you know, can you recommend a good CPA? Can you recommend a good whatever, that you all have that list? It's just a little added thing for your practice.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just want to – you're comfortable. I want to make sure I fully answered your question.
No, I think it's something that we'll have to figure out among the Rosie and how we use that list. But that's not something we need to spend more time on today.
Well, I will tell you that enthusiastically the providers list, I would put that aside. That's something you can come back to. That's nothing, Joel, that you put together all at one time. It's just something you put together when you talk to your clients. It's nothing that is imperative for the launch of those 15 people.
Very good.
All right?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
All right. How did your event go last week?
Great. Excellent.
What made it great?
The venue was good. I think we as a team were good. It was great for some of our clients that historically work in our silos to get out of the silos to meet the other, to meet Melanie and Joel and others on the team. We got really good feedback from clients. I think they enjoyed themselves. The food was good. The refreshments were good. It was just, I thought, a great event.
Did at any time during that, did any of your clients recognize value?
Absolutely. I'll add that the outcome or results of this event, we have already lined up,
extra dialogue with other partners that I think would obviously add value to what these clients wish for and desire, which is just a great thing. You know, I'll give you an example. One of my Supernova clients wanted to talk to Melanie about, not about financial matters, but more of a connectivity matter, about connecting her with other nonprofits. It's just a more enriching experience for that client to have that resource in Melanie. And she's already reached out to the client in very appropriate ways, and it's just a great thing.
All right. Terrific. Now, let me, again, we're not officially into acquisition till next week, but back in on April the 4th, we talked a little bit about the VIPSA conversation. Melanie, you have followed up with this client already?
Yes.
Did, when you followed up, was there any recognition of value from that client side? Like, thank you very much, this is terrific, this is exactly what I need. That's all recognition of value. Did you get any of that?
So we got that before the formal follow-up because she reached out to us first and said, you know, she was recognizing the value and what our discussion was that evening and that she would appreciate that kind of follow-through. So then I reached back out to her with the two different items and, you know, connecting her with some other people that she was interested in, and that's kind of where we are right now in the process.
All right. The point I'm driving home here, you all, as you roll this refined practice out, as you get to know clients a little more deeply, as Tim described, clients are going to recognize value. That, in our opinion, is the very best time to start a referral conversation. That doesn't mean you ask for a referral every time, but I want the light to go off. Melanie, this lady says to you, gosh, Melanie, I really, really appreciate you getting back to me so quickly. That's recognition of value. And what you have to do, if you do nothing else, is you confirm that you heard them. You don't deflect the compliment. A lot of FAs get a compliment and they do that aw shucks thing. Aw shucks, that's just what we do. No, Melanie's response to that lady is, thank you for saying that. I really, our team works really hard to provide that type of follow-up. You specifically confirm specifically what the recognition of value is. You with me, Melanie?
Yes, absolutely.
Then, Melanie, in a millisecond, you decide whether it's appropriate to continue the conversation. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of service, that same type of follow-up? It's not one of those rambling conversations. Do you know anybody else I might need to talk to, blah, blah, blah. No, it's specific. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of follow-up? It's just very, very important you take advantage of these things. And the lady says, well, Melanie, I can't come up with anything right now. I'm thinking, but I can't come up with anybody. And then again, this is all the decision you all make. I want you to know the whole script, but I want you to use the parts that are needed at the time. Melanie might say, well, do you have a minute to brainstorm? And she says, sure. And Melanie says, well, can you think of anybody you know is getting ready to retire, somebody you go to church with, somebody you travel with, somebody you play golf with, whatever? And the lady says, well, no, I'm still drawing a blank, Melanie. And Melanie's response is, thanks for thinking about it. Just know we're never too busy to help people like you. You see that, Melanie?
Absolutely.
And it's, again, the very best script is the one that you is we think it's our thoughts put into your word. We all speak a little differently. Now, going through this same thought process, if the lady says, well, you know what, Melanie, my sister-in-law is absolutely distraught about what she's getting from Merrill Lynch. I'll just make up a name. And you know what usually comes after that? I'll have her call you. That call never comes. That's my experience. Maybe you all are better at it. So when that lady says, Melanie, you really need to talk to my sister-in-law, your response is terrific. I would love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of her?
Right.
Got it?
Yep.
So it's just, it's learned. Don't think that scripts are for rookies. Scripts are a thought process you can start and stop at any place. Maybe Melanie says to this lady, you know anyone else you think who could use our services? And she says, no, I can't think of anybody. Well, maybe Melanie cuts it off right there and says, well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team's never too busy to help people like you. So it's important that you all have this firmly in your mind. Tim, you okay with that script in your work?
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Joel?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I used it. By the way, I used it the other day.
Say it again?
I used it the other day. I had a daughter of a Supernova client came in like 4 or 5 months ago and mentioned an old 401k rollover at AT&T, and she was talking about it, and, you know, never followed up, and I emailed her dad, and he said, well, I'll relay the information to her, and heard nothing. So last week I said, if you were me, Larry, what's the best way to get in front of her? The next thing you know, she emailed me, she said, yes, I'm ready to roll over the 401k.
Well, that didn't get any better than that. That's I'm really proud of you. You all have a lot to offer. I'll say it the last time I'll say it. You have a lot to offer. When people give you recognition of value, you have to confirm it, if nothing else. And if it isn't the appropriate time to have the conversation, you put a note in your file. 516, talked to Mrs. Jones, complimented the team on our planning, did not go into the script. So next time you talk to Ms. Jones, back on May 16th, we were having our review, quarterly review, and you mentioned whatever. Has anybody come to mind you think could use our services? So the exit, it works. I'll stop there. All right. Last week I touched on COIs. As I said, a COI is someone who's in a position to refer to you and they can specifically describe what you do. Melanie mentioned John. Joel mentioned a CPA. And Tim mentioned Kerr, who's given him 5 or 10 referrals. I asked each of you to bring the name of 5 additional centers of influence. Tim, let me start with you. Just give me the first names of the next 5 people you think would be good COIs.
Okay, yeah, hang on. I'm getting a list here. Okay. Brian Etheridge.
What makes Brian a
center? Did you want me to...
I'm not going to ask you this on every person, but what makes Brian a possible center of influence for you?
He is the executive director of a leadership organization here in North Carolina. It's called Leadership North Carolina, and
okay. That
organization really is to gather leaders across the state to talk about various issues within the state, ranging from healthcare, the people involved with his organizations typically all are centers of influence. And so it's a one-year program basically to commit to doing service projects across the state.
How do you know him?
He's my brother-in-law.
Okay. If he wanted to, he could give you more referrals than you could possibly process.
Probably so. That is an issue with any of my COIs. Yeah, it is unlimited.
One of the best COI descriptions I have ever heard. And being your brother-in-law, that's probably additive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. Give me the other first names.
For me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to say, let's go with Tim.
All right. I'm not going to, just quickly, what's he do? What makes him a COI?
He is the owner, president of a realty firm down in Wilmington.
Commercial realty or residential?
Both.
Okay. All right. Now, just give me three more first names.
Three more. Okay. Zeke.
All right.
Sally.
All right.
I'm going to go with Bob.
Okay, so you've got Kerr from last week, who's already given you 5 or 10 referrals, Tim, Zeke, Sally, Brian, and Bob. All right?
Yeah.
Here's the key question. You're going to get sick of hearing it over the next couple of weeks. Can that person specifically describe your practice?
The people I've mentioned, I would say no, not yet anyway.
Okay, well, we're going to come to that in a second with your practice overview. It's great, Tim, if they can talk about you need to go see Tim. You need to go see Tim because he's been doing this for a while. You can trust him. I like him. All those are good things, but you want them to be able to specifically talk about your practice. He's part of a concierge practice for a limited number of people. His practice is planning driven. He offers regularly scheduled proactive contact. All of those things make it easy. When your center of influence knows all of those things, it makes them easier for them to be raving fans of your practice. Got it?
Yes.
All right. Melanie? Did you have a chance to come up with identify five more centers of influence?
Yes, I did.
First one.
Kathy Hunt.
Kathy?
Kathy, yes.
Okay.
She's a family law attorney.
Say it again, please.
She's a family law attorney.
Okay. All right. Can Kathy specifically describe your practice?
Not yet, but she and I had a conversation before I went to a divorce conference in Florida, and she said to me, you know, she gave me a list of the family lawyers that she would actually think could handle clients of the size that we're interested in, and she said, you know, what's really the problem is that there's a million financial advisors out there, and so what I want to know is why would I refer to you versus anybody else? Besides the fact that she and I know each other, she's saying, you know, if you didn't know someone. And so it was the perfect time for us to, talk about the value proposition. And then she also mentioned some things that, you know, that I hadn't thought about, but she said what we really need is we need people, you know, with trust experience because we have to do so much with that. And, you know, part of just kind of part of the bios and putting everything together, I mean, this has kind of come full circle as what the Rogue Group can offer. So I stopped talking to her right then. I went to my conference, and she and I are supposed to follow up so that we could get our, you know, one-pager fact sheet that we talked about last week pointed to these facts that our centers of influence would be looking at, because that would be something that we'd communicate to them and also leave with them.
Absolutely. If you had a client who needed Kathy's services, is she someone you could highly recommend?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. All right, give me four more. You mentioned John last week. Kathy, give me the next four.
George Ennis is an attorney. Eleanor Foy is an attorney. Probably Gwen Vass and Kristen Hoyle. They're both CPAs.
Glenn and who?
Gwen and Kristen.
Okay. All right. All right, it's going to be the same question. I'm not going to ask them, but the key is making sure those people can specifically describe what you do. That was a great question that Kathy asked you. What she basically said to you was, why should I refer to you? That was really her question.
And, right.
And what's deeper than that is, what makes you different from everybody else who's told me they're different? And
right.
It's your service model. It's the strength of the partners. It's the strength of your support staff. You're not out there. You have never represented yourself as the smartest stock picker in Raleigh, North Carolina. Correct?
Right.
Your competitive advantage, as we talked in week one, is your service model. Terrific. Joel, give me five. I've already got
Tim Nichols.
All right. What makes him a COI?
Tim's an attorney across the street. We have his 401k. He attended our event. He's given me some pretty good referrals in the past. Carol Hall, who Melanie and I have already met with. And to answer your next question, I don't think you could accurately describe our practice in the new structure, and that's to do for me to sit down and kind of describe to him what we are doing and what's going to be different.
Okay. Have you ever referred to him?
Yes.
Do you know what his ideal client looks like?
Tim's in a unique situation, Rob, because he's close to retirement, so he's not really looking to take on new clients. He works because he just wants to work. So I do know he's looking for basically estate planning kinds of clients.
Well, and just as a side note, Rob, at the event, Joel introduced me to Tim, and we think we may have worked together sometime in the past, and we talked about getting together with him and maybe some of his partners for lunch, and that's where I kind of thought that, you know, it wouldn't be just Joel, it would be other Rogue partners, and we could then talk about our value proposition and what we do.
That is a great idea. You present to them and tell them what you all do, what your ideal client looks like. The way you can deliver this type of service is because you've reduced the size of your practice and you've established the minimum, and then you want the same thing from them. A lot of people want referrals from CPAs and estate planning attorneys, whatever, and they never think of asking the question to the CPA, for example, tell me what your ideal client looks like. My CPA handles mainly business owners. He has a minimum fee. that's his ideal relationship. So I'm not going to refer anybody to him who doesn't fit that. I referred somebody to him last year who's a business owner. So it's always a good question when you all have someone that you refer to, and hopefully they refer to you, is to make sure that you know exactly what they're looking for. Very few advisors are going to ask that question. Bill, tell me what your ideal client looks like. So if I come across someone who might need a new CPA, I would know what you would want to have. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. Give me the other five, Joel.
So I do have a couple names written down here. The way that my business works, Rob, is that I get referrals mostly from existing clients. I don't really have a lot of centers of influence like attorneys and CPAs who give me a lot of referrals. It mostly just, there's no rhyme or reason to it, but it just kind of happens, you know. I wish I could say I've done a better job at it. I really haven't. So, I mean, I do have some names like Lynn Woodall, who we talked about last week. Again, we need to get in front of him. Bob Ramger, who we all had lunch with 2 months ago or so. And then the others are, like the name of some clients, like Sue McGee, you know, Kendall Page, both clients, and they've just given me a fair amount of good referrals over the last 5 to 7 years.
Well, Sue has given you referrals over the last couple of years?
Well, in the last 10-year time span, yes.
Okay. A COI, a center of influence, Joel, can be a client. Clients will be able to specifically describe your practice because they're living it. You're just a little bit more intentional with them, making sure that they understand all the things that your practice offers. So what I would ask you to do, folks, do you all have a couple of minutes to spend some time on the practice overview, or are you up against it?
We have a few minutes. I know we have a 12 o'clock meeting, but we've got a few minutes.
Okay. Let me get that in front of me. All right. There's one of it. All right. I've got the most recent thing that was sent to me. Here is I like what you've done. The only thing I would ask you to work on is your basic beliefs. For example, impart on clients the knowledge necessary to help them meet their financial goals. Something that like that would fit more in my mind under what clients can expect. What I'm looking for here in the basic beliefs are the, and I pointed this out to you last week or the week before, are the, if you look at the CFP code of ethics, transparency, full disclosure, confidentiality, those are the kind of things that I think are basic beliefs. You're all CFPs. You can use those. It's not plagiarism when you're a CFP and you look at those things. I just think it's different. I think most FAs have basic beliefs. It's just this is the hardest part of this exercise is getting them down on paper. So it's your practice overview. I think it would be stronger if you had more of those transparency, full disclosure, client's interest comes first, all of those things. I just think it lets people see who you are and how you're going to operate. So I would ask you to give that a little bit more time.
Okay.
Got it? All right. Let me close with one thing. How often do you all do events like you did the other day last week?
That was the first one.
Well, that size, we're doing it twice a year, and then we're doing six luncheon events that are smaller size in our office.
Let me give you an idea. How much did it cost to put your event on, roughly? I know that you had some mutual fund partners, right?
Well, Matt, how much did it cost us?
I think we're going to get reimbursed.
I don't know. We don't know exactly because all the numbers aren't in. The wholesalers haven't paid everything. But let's say $1,000.
Okay. My wife is the head of the DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution, in Franklin, Tennessee. They had an event for women. It was a community outreach. It was getting new members. And they brought in Princess Di's personal chef.
Wow.
And he told magnificent stories. I mean, he's a great chef, but he told, inside stories, and the room was full. There were probably 300 women there. There's something, and there were, as other people found out about it, they were sorry they weren't invited. It cost $4,000 plus expenses. He lives in Dallas. So if you ever want to do something that our experience here will attract females to the event, this guy would be terrific. I think you'd fill the place up. If you go to a great client and say we'd like for you to come and we've set aside three seats for you, I think you'd be really pleased. I'm not pushing this guy. He just did a great job and told some really nice, interesting stories. Then he took questions. He's funny. So I just throw that out to you. I tell you what I'll do. I'll send to Katie. I'll send this guy's name and contact information if you ever want to do what I. Pardon?
Yeah, please send it and tell your wife I'm in the DAR too.
Are you really? Well, she's the regent, and she thought 300 people. She didn't. She thought everybody'd get along. It's like managing a Morgan Stanley office, I think.
Yeah.
it's a great organization. Here's what I'd like for y'all to do for next week. I would like for you to, as I said, I would like for you to start. Getting the last part of your practice overview, those basic beliefs done, because this is going to be the key to training your centers of influence. And as I mentioned to you last week, the three ways you use this with prospects, with your existing clients, if we ever disappoint you versus what we say we deliver, we'd really love to know so we can address it immediately. And it's great to use with your centers of influence. Bill, you've been nice enough to refer people to us over the last couple of years. Some of those have become really good clients. We wanted you to have this for number one, because you're an important part of our practice. Number two, if ever you'd come across someone who you think could benefit from our services, I would like for you to be able to specifically describe our practice. Really, really important to get this, to get that part started. I would also ask you during the next week to be cognizant of value conversations. I would like for you to have, when somebody, I would like for two times during the week, if somebody gives you a compliment, recognizes value, that you go through that first part. Ms. Jones, thank you so much for saying that. We work really hard to provide that level of planning. And if you want to go to the next step, if you know anyone else who'd like that kind of planning, that would be great. But I would just like you to be cognizant to have two of those conversations and at least confirm that you heard what the client said. Anything else?
Nope. I think that's very good.
All right. Good to talk with you. I'm traveling, Melanie. I won't be back till Friday. I will send you that contact information on Friday. All right,
that'd be great. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, good to talk with you folks. Bye.